Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino. He's the founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. Now, John, let's follow up on a colleague of ours, Rick Rule, who recently was quoted as saying that he thinks the juniors, broadly, when it comes to metal stocks, are overbought. They have had a very nice run a couple months ago, but as the gold price has topped over the last couple months and been in a little bit of a downtrend, we've seen some of these juniors also sell off. And some of the lower quality juniors, the ones without any news, but in all fairness, haven't had any news in, let's say, a year, any significant news, that is, those stocks also ran higher. They seem to be the ones fading off the quickest. There are some of the standout juniors that are arguably kind of mid-tiers right now because of how big their market caps have gotten that are holding some of their recent gains. But overall, John, how do you view the junior sector and how it has traded over the last about 6 months?
Hey, Corey. Well, you know, the most important point in this particular discussion, I think, is that you don't want to get on the wrong side of what Rick Rule is saying, because he has historically been a really, really good judge of the state of the junior miners. Like, for instance, in my case, I started buying exploration stocks and other juniors while Rick Rule was still saying a couple of years ago that, oh, we haven't had capitulation yet. You know, I'm not seeing deals getting done at really favorable rates for the financiers or anything yet. But I went ahead and bought a lot of those stocks that went down hard for like a year. If I just listened to him and waited for him to say, okay, I'm seeing capitulation in the market, I would have been a much more successful junior miner investor over the last few years. And so what he's saying now is that, you know, not only have stock prices gone up for a lot of these guys, but really big favorable financings have happened. These guys are able to borrow a lot of money, or they're able to do equity offerings at favorable prices. So they're raising a lot of money. And that's great for them operationally, but it can be kind of dilutive for shares, which might take a little while to digest. So you got those two things. You know, stocks are up nicely, and a lot of financings are getting done. And that maybe puts a little bit of a headwind blowing at the junior miners right now. So with gold and silver still on a favorable trend, and possibly much more favorable in the next few years, junior miners are still a good thing to own. But they aren't the screaming buys that they were, I think, a few years ago. So this is a time for maybe a little more caution than in retrospect was warranted 2 years ago, you know, or last year. You know, we should have mortgaged our houses to buy these things at the beginning of the move. And now maybe not so much. So I'm still happy to own an awful lot of the junior miners that I own. And it doesn't feel like it's time to sell big chunks of them, but it also doesn't feel like it's a good time to be adding to those positions. So this might be one of those not buy, not sell, but hold kinds of times for the junior miners.
Yeah, in all fairness, look, the junior miners or exploration companies specifically, they've had a tough go of it over the last about couple months because, A, there's been a lot of shares come free trading from a lot of these financings, and there's been such a backlog at these assay labs that they haven't been able to release any drill results, or at least any significant drill results in terms of a lot of these programs that are ongoing. And it's that kind of news that can stabilize stock prices, bring in more buyers, and even drive stocks higher. So that's one of the problems right here, right, is that we're sitting, waiting for some more catalysts when it comes to news and drill results. But John, one other thing that I've noticed is that there's a lot of new companies that have also come into the sector. This is what happens when you're in a bull market, but then everyone starts wondering, are we already saturated with all the companies that are in the sector? Where do you stand on that question?
Well, I think it's possible for a rising supply of companies to not exactly saturate the market, but confuse the market. Because the good quality junior miners are going to do what they're going to do regardless. But to the extent that a lot of new companies are coming in right now, to, you know, ride this gravy train, it's a fairly safe bet that a lot of them are not viable, because if they were viable at $1,200 an ounce gold, then they probably would have already come to market at those prices. But now that, you know, the price is $1,900 US, that makes them more potentially viable. So it's easier for them to sell stock or do other kinds of financing. But that's not nearly as good as somebody who came to market a few years ago, because their property was viable at a much lower gold price. So now with the new guys coming in, maybe you need a higher gold price for them to work out. And that's probable, but not guaranteed in this market. So they're a much more risky proposition. And I think a lot of the new money that's flowing into these stocks doesn't really differentiate. You know, if you're new to the sector and you see something with silver in its name and you decide that you're going to buy some of it, you may not know whether it's a brand new company or something that's been around for a long time and has an established management, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you just might not be able to differentiate. So these new companies coming in are more of a risk for the new investors that are coming into the market than they are for veteran investors who know what's what and, you know, can tell one of those companies, you know, a brand new company without really a lot going for it, from something like Great Bear, which is established and on its way to being bought out at a much higher price, probably.
John, do you have a bias between gold or silver juniors right now?
Well, I really like silver. You know, I think it's a thinly traded market that has multiple things going for it. The fact that gold is going up is great for silver, because silver tends to be pulled along by gold, and usually in a more volatile way. So rising gold makes silver go up, other things being equal. But there's a lot of other things, like silver goes into solar panels, and the demand for solar is rocketing. And in the U.S., there's a, let's say the Democrats win and institute some version of their Green New Deal. Well, that's going to involve major subsidies for lots of alternative energy. And silver is a big beneficiary of that. So it might actually be an industrial metals play as much as a monetary metals play in the next few years. And that's great for the little silver miners, because they're just lottery tickets in an environment like that. You know, let silver go back up to $50 US an ounce, and you'll see 5 and 10 baggers all over the place in the silver space. And there just aren't that many real silver miners out there. So a tremendous amount of money will be flowing into them. So I love silver. I like the silver miners a lot. But they're also more speculative, because all that stuff I just talked about may or may not happen. You know, so and if things don't go silver's way in the short run, those stocks will tend to tank. So gold is a safer bet with a lot of upside. Silver is a more speculative bet with spectacular upside. So it depends on your risk tolerance and your temperament. I think most people ought to have some exposure to silver one way or the other, and it just depends on how extreme you want to get, you know, junior miners or the metal stored at home. Either one of those will probably work out. One is much safer than the other, though.
Yeah, fair enough. And both still are speculative plays, but hey, at least we are still in a bull market. We still have a longer term uptrend. It's just been these last couple months of a bit of a drift in terms of the metals price and also a lot of these underlying stock prices. John, let's wrap it up with a quick comment on gold seasonality. I know there are a lot of people that don't like to talk about seasonality or don't pay any attention to it, but there's also a faction of gold bugs out there that focus a lot on the seasonality play. Where the time of the year that we are approaching right now is usually typically very good for the precious metals. However, we have so many outside factors like the election, like COVID, and the second wave that's happening in the Northern Hemisphere right now. How focused are you on the seasonality trade when it comes to the precious metals this year?
Well, seasonality is a real thing. If you look at a chart for gold or silver, you see that they tend to do well in December and January and February of each year. And that's because of Asian buying in anticipation of weddings later in the year. And there's no reason to think that that won't be the case again this year. In other words, Asian buying will be a factor. But like you said, there's so much other stuff going on, you know, and any one of these things, if we come out with a real cure or at least a vaccine or something like that, that people accept for COVID-19 and that mostly goes away, that's a huge deal. Or if we have a really contentious, contested election here in the U.S. and maybe civil unrest related to it, that's a huge deal. Or if we have a gigantic stimulus program, you know, all of those things are probably a bigger deal than seasonality for precious metals, but they're also mostly, most of them are favorable for precious metals. So you might have kind of a self-reinforcing cycle here where you've got a bunch of different things that are all kind of pointing in a positive direction for precious metals, and they're helping each other out instead of canceling each other out. I think there's a good possibility, if not probability, that that's the case early in 2021.
Well, I guess we'll see how it all plays out here, John. But right now, there are just so many distractions, right? And the way that even gold performed, let's say, over summer, which was typically a slow time for the precious metal, maybe the timing won't exactly work out this year. However, hey, we have gone through a little bit of a correction. I think there still needs to be a bit more of a correction to come. But right now, gold just pretty much hanging around that $1,900 level. John, great chatting with you, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Thanks, Corey. Talk to you then.